Bobby Rivers, alone in a world that doesn't want him. We can rebuild him, make him better than he was before. Better, stronger, blacker.
Bobby Rivers here. Yes, I said, oh, I almost did a Betty Davis there. Bobby Rivers. Betty Davis. Okay, hi, folks. Thanks for listening to my podcast again. This is Bobby Rivers with Mocha. Mocha stands for Man of a Certain Hue and Age. And let me tell you, color and age are going to, they influence my opinions nowadays. And age, yes, I'm in the world according to ARP, AARP. So there you go. We like to talk about movies. We like to talk about culture, society, stuff like that there. And I wonder if Keith has a favorite Meryl Streep movie. Do you have a favorite Meryl Streep movie?
All of them. No, just kidding.
You know what? I'm there with you. And she, Meryl, two of my favorite people in the movie business are making a movie together. Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks, directed by Steven Spielberg. The movie is called The Post. I believe it's about the Pentagon Papers. You know, go back in your American history, modern American history. And they are at NEMI. And if you are listening to me and you are an employee of the studio that's releasing that film and you're aware that there's going to be a junket, you put me on that junket. Yes. I want to interview Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg. Please, 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 please. I have had three experiences with Meryl Streep, and each one led to really good luck. When I first started my career, I was working at the ABC affiliate in Milwaukee, and you know, we did junkets. That's where they fly you to a place, a hotel, where the stars are sort of gathered and they're doing press. Well, I was lucky enough to get added to the junket. It was a short list for Sophie's Choice. And I interviewed Meryl Streep. At the time, I was working on the Milwaukee edition of a very popular show in the 80s called PM Magazine. And so my six-minute interview with Meryl Streep aired nationally. And the same week, I had a six-minute interview with Jessica Lange, who was promoting Tootsie and Frances, new actor named Ben Kingsley promoting Gandhi, and Richard Attenborough, who was the director of Gandhi. And these interviews aired nationally on PM Magazine in the same week. And it took my career up because at the Milwaukee office, I was part-time on camera talent, but the full-time secretary for the staff. So after those went national, I was no longer the secretary. I became one of the full-time field producers and was still on camera talent. I had a great interview with Meryl Streep, and like I just said, that interview helped me climb up the ladder at the local station in Milwaukee. I get to New York in the late 80s, and I'm on VH1. I get my own talk show, and one of my guests for the first week, my first guest was Kirk Douglas. Later in the week, a half-hour one-on-one with Meryl Streep. And she at the time was promoting the movie A Cry in the Dark, which a lot of people think is called A Dingo Ate My Baby. You know what? They just do. So it was a wonderful interview. I found out a couple of movies that she wanted to do but didn't get to do. Like she was sweetly jealous of Sally Field for getting the role in the movie Punchline, because she said, I really wanted to do that. And she really wanted to do the film version of the Broadway hit musical Evita. But producers decided to go with a non-actress instead. So we... So we just...
You know, hey, Bobby!
chatted about stuff. All right. So, calendar pages fall, fast forward. I'm working on a local morning show in New York City. And there was, I don't know if it's still held now, but there was an annual luncheon that got big stars to attend. And I think it was because the luncheon was kept to an hour. And it was called the Film Distributors Luncheon. And they would award the stars. And this particular year, Meryl Streep was getting the award for Star of the Decade. And I had been asked to host this luncheon a couple of times, and I was asked to host it for this year that Meryl Streep was going to be awarded. And it was a big deal. So I had been renewed by this local morning show for $10,000 less than my previous year. Okay, so that let me know how much they loved me. I got, yeah, oh, really? They renewed me for less money, and I was really good at covering entertainment, so they took me off entertainment, and I was really good at doing the funny live shots, so they took me off the funny live shots, but they still wanted me on the show. And I went, yeah, okay, fine. So I get this offer to host this luncheon, during which Meryl Streep is going to get an award. Well, not only that, they wanted me to present the award to her. So my, you know, agent at the time, and wherever he is, he should only stay there, the one who got me $10,000 less, was like, okay, this is a big deal. I'm going to call the executive producer. Because, you know, sometimes when you're watching a local news show, they have the end of the newscast, lighthearted story, like our weatherman went and taught Boy Scouts how to do the weather themselves. You know, they had that feel-good mm-hmm. feature at the end. And he said, okay, Bobby's going to be presenting an award to Meryl Streep. So you want to send a camera crew to get some footage of that? No. Okay, let me say that again. Bobby will be handing an award to Meryl Streep. You want to send a couple of the camera guy and the audio guy? No. Yeah, okay.
You got to put it on your cell phone. Oh, we didn't have that.
They didn't have cell phones. This is like 1999. Okay. So, and at the time, my contract for less money is almost up, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I might as well do another year. You know, it's not really what I want to do, and it's less money, but it's something. So I get to the luncheon, and I'm on time. And the guy said, well, just, you know, sit down and eat, and then the show will start. We went over all of our copy. And I see my seat. They said, that's your seat. And in the seat next to mine, there's a female in, like, a leather jacket and black pants. I just see her from behind. So I'm going over to sit down. I said, who's that seated next to my chair? They said, oh, that's Meryl. And I stop and I said, you know, someone, you have to escort me to my seat. No, just go sit down. No, I cannot just walk over and sit down next to Meryl Streep and go, hey, girl, I'm from out of Africa, too. You don't know. We've got...
Damn you, Bobby! I'm trying to be professional out here.
So sit, yeah. So they take me over, introduce me. I sit down next to her, and of course I'm nervous. And she looks at me, and she says, okay, where do I know you from? And I'm thinking, okay, there's no way she would remember. So I said, well, I had a talk show on VH1. She went, yes. You asked me some very good questions, and she remembered a couple of the questions. And I'm stunned. I'm stunned. And before that, I said, you were one of my first big interviews when you were promoting Sophie's Choice, and you were pregnant at the time. And she said, oh, would you like to know how old that child is now? And I went, no. So, you know, people are starting. Sean Penn shows up. Steve Martin shows up. We're all there on this dais. And... you know, I start doing the show, and she leans over and she says, you know, I'm so glad you're hosting this instead of me, because there's stuff you can do that I can't. And it was just the fact that she said that.
Wow.
Meryl Streep said that, and she remembered my work.
Awesome.
All right. It gets better.
Stop.
The guys who were running the event come up to me. And, you know, a couple of other people were giving speeches, so they pulled me aside and said, we've got a sudden change. We didn't see this coming. And it was like, they said, there's nothing bad. But they said, do you know who Alan Pakula is? And I said, the director? Yes. Alan Pakula, All the President's Men, the Sterile Cuckoo. He also directed Sophie's Choice. Well, Alan Pakula was in New York City, and he heard that this luncheon was going on, and Meryl was being awarded. And he said, Alan Pakula showed up and wanted to know if he could just say a few words on how much he loves working with her. And then they said, okay, because he's here and this is kind of special, would you mind if he presented her with the award? And I said, of course not. And I knew enough about his career. I said, I will introduce Alan Pakula, and then he will get, you know, he will talk about how much he loves Meryl Streep. So there is a photo of Alan Pakula, Meryl Streep, and me that somebody snapped. So while he's talking, Meryl Streep is talking in my ear and making me laugh so hard that I thought I was going to spit up peas from my... At one time, Alan Pakula said, I remember when I met Meryl Streep, and I said, you know, this woman is a Polish woman who was very intellectual and articulate, and you know, the movie will probably play in France, and can you speak Polish with a French accent? And she said, of course I can. And
I'm
she,
motherfucking Meryl Streep. Of course I can.
She leaned over to me and said, what the hell did you think I was going to say? He had this European dame in mind if I didn't get the part. And I wanted the part. That's how Meryl Streep is talking.
Can I roller skate?
Yeah, just like in Fuego. So it was just a wonderful experience. And he got there. And it was such a touching moment for him to take time out of his day to pay tribute to Meryl Streep. And he didn't ask for special treatment. He didn't take a free meal. He just wanted to verbally honor her. And the station I work for did not send a crew. There were other crews from other stations were there, but not my station. What did you learn from this? Well, unfortunately, a month later, Alan Pakula was killed in a freak auto accident.
That's right.
It was a month later. And on that particular day, that was the big news story because his death was the lead story on ABC, NBC, and CBS. Had the station I worked for sent a crew, they would have had footage of Alan Pakula in one of his last public appearances talking about an actress that he loved. But they didn't send a crew. The main thing that I took from this is I decided not to re-sign with the channel. Because I would, you know, sometimes when it's time for you to go, the universe will let you know.
Yes,
the station didn't seem to appreciate me, but Meryl Streep complimented me and remembered my work. And that was good enough for me. I left on good terms, never looked back.
That's amazing. Because again, now, do you feel, you know, as we look back with our eyes of 2020, in our 2017 state of mind, shall we say, do you think that that was precipitated by race?
Man, I don't know, because it just, there were so many, you know what? When it came to people feeling miserable there at the station at that time, it was like a Benetton ad. Look, they're of all colors.
Everybody's hating this mother scratcher. All right.
But it was humiliating because I had broken entertainment news stories that were picked up by Entertainment Tonight.
Right.
I was in Liz Smith's column when she was in, you know, she was still writing for, I think she was writing for the Post at that time.
The Daily News, wasn't that the other one? The other old broad.
Yeah. It was Cindy Adams. But the fact is, I was getting national coverage for entertainment items that I broke on the show.
Right.
And I was told I was good for ratings. But then I'm renewed for
For me, my question would have been when they told you they were going to renew you for $10,000 or less, $10,000 less than what they were already paying you, which probably was nothing to begin with because that's how they do many of us.
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, did you think then I should fucking quit this job? Pardon my French.
Okay. Yes, I did. But then what was going on at the time? I had assumed the mortgage on my mama's house.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it. I'm not just trying to take care of myself. I'm taking care of family. And that's why I stayed, because I went, okay, well, I know I've got that. And then I can pick up a part-time job and, you know, and make some more. And that's what I did.
Wow. But again, you know, there's no racism in America. I'm sorry. Did I say that aloud again? Damn, that just kind of rolls out.
And this is why I would you know, when the post, the movie that Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks are doing mm-hmm. is done, I think they want to have that complete. I think they want to try to get that released by the end of December so it qualifies for
Oscars.
Man, if there was a junket, I would really love to see Meryl Streep again and thank her.
Yeah.
Thank her for that inspiration and motivation. And
well, maybe she'll hear this.
And when my VH1 half hour with her aired, that's how I was able to make my debut as an actor. Not a very good actor, but I got the check. I was on The Equalizer. Remember that show?
Yes.
Okay, I was Chris Perley, radio talk show host.
For they one gave you a name and everything.
I mean, they
you
gave me a name.
What was the backstory of that? What was your research? What was your motivation?
Man, I was so ignorant. I didn't even try to come up with the backs. I was just trying to memorize the 10 damn lines. And I got a call from the casting director. And the casting director offered me the part, and I had turned it down. And I said, you know what? I haven't had a lot of acting training. And she said, okay, look, any man who could talk to Meryl Streep for a half hour on national TV can memorize 10 lines. You got the part. And that's it.
Booyah.
Because of Meryl Streep, I made my acting debut on The Equalizer.
Wow.
So it's like three times when I had something good came out of a Meryl Streep interview. Not that it ever wouldn't, but.
You know?
Yeah.
And something good that, you know, it's a tangible good. That's a tangible moment. Like, because, you know, we are very fortunate a lot of times that in this business, at least over the years, have had the opportunity to meet so many incredible people that have been so influential in our lives before we've ever met them.
Right.
And then to have someone like that say that to you, it's the absolute... I'm sitting here tearing up thinking about what that means because... When you stop and you think about the fact that you were one of the first ones to be able to sit in a room with, and I mean first ones talking about persons of color. Yes, we are on Mocha, and that's what we're talking about.
Right.
And if that bothers you all, too bad. But to sit in a room with someone of the stature of Meryl Streep and not only have them do a great interview with you,
mm-hmm.
remember the interview experience with you?
Yes.
And at the same time, compliment the experience. Because it's one thing to have a fun interview if it's going to be fluff and silly, and you can do whatever you want with that as the person being interviewed. But for them to walk away and say, those were great questions.
Yes. It was so, I can't tell you how my soul was touched.
You know?
It was like validation.
Because
the people you work for, seem to be invisible.
Exactly. Until you fuck up.
Exactly.
And the minute that one of us makes a mistake, and I say one of us,
mm-hmm.
and I mean exactly who I mean, one of us, that when we make the mistake, we don't get the opportunity to have a lot of do-over. When we start something, we don't get the opportunity to stumble first.
Right.
We don't get that opportunity to fix and build now that we have it in front of people like a good previews would be. We don't get that opportunity. And so, you know, one of the things that I hope people are getting when they're listening to this is they understand that where are you going to hear folks of color having a conversation about Carrie Fisher on such a level? Where are you going to hear this moment of Alan Alda touching Black history? You're not going to get that anywhere else.
Right.
So far, I mean, I'm sure that there's another nerdy Black queen just like you and I somewhere, but the bitch ain't in front of a microphone, so too bad.
Right.
You better get your computer and make it pop for you.
Oh, Lord.
However, that is the essence of what
you're bringing this is about.
And I that makes me happy to hear that moment because I know what it does for me when I hear that, and that's just silly me talking to, you know, the folks that I get to talk to with Broadway. And it's that same thing.
It's because where we are, it was not easy to get to where we are.
No. And certainly, you know, and it took the help of allies, because I don't want people
sure
to think that it's something that we have to do. It's like we don't get the luxury of just showing up and being that fabulous without someone else.
We have been blessed with allies, you and I.
You know, and yes. So, yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Meryl Streep, baby.
Baby, let me tell you. And you mentioned Alan Alda. There is a Meryl Streep, Alan Alda movie I wish would get on DVD. The Seduction of Joe Tynan.
Get out of town.
I don't think it's on DVD yet.
Let's look and see.
And I believe Alan Alda wrote the screenplay. Because, you know, he could do everything. It's Alan Alda, Meryl Streep, Rip Torn, Melvin Douglas, and Barbara Harris.
1979.
Uh-huh.
It's a political by Alan Alda.
Political movie. It's yes, I love that movie. And yes, Meryl Streep did an accent in that. She did a Southern accent. And you know whose accent she was doing?
Whose?
Dinah Shore's.
Stop.
No, my research, the kind of research that Meryl remembered.
Which is why we get to do those things and not have to talk about somebody's fingernails. Just saying.
Yes.
Just saying. You know, it's not meant to be.
Put us on a red carpet, and we're going to come up with something a whole lot better than who did your dress.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. High five, goddammit.
You got it.
We doing it.
Okay, so we take a short break, let them go to the bathroom, whatever they got to do.
I don't care.
Okay.
you could just pause it. It's a podcast.
Oh, that's right. It's so new. It's a
podcast. Why are you holding it? Just put it on pause and go pee and then come back.
Lord, I'm still mentally in TV mode. That's television, non-transvestite. Okay. Bobby Rivers with Mocha, man of a certain hue and age. We're going to take a short break and come right on back. Love you, Meryl.
Mocha.